right, welcome to the Eric Blank Show, everybody.
Welcome.
Cracking open a cold.
With all the boys.
Let's get right to it, all right?
Boys. And girls.
Let's get right to it. We got the Eric Blank Show. Welcome, everybody. We got four people here. Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves clockwise. My name is Eric. I'm an alcoholic. No, my name is Eric. Go ahead, Colt. Who are you?
My name's Colt. Okay.
That's good. Hafer.
Thanks.
Hafer.
Hafer.
That's good. Thanks.
First. Hafer, you're the first three-peat guest.
Three-peat? I feel like Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Way less talented.
Trying to get your audio levels. They're all fucked up. We've never had four people on the podcast. Rachel?
Hello.
No introduction?
Yeah, just don't need one.
Rachel doesn't have a handicap because she's a professional.
Oh, God.
And she won't give me any strokes. All right, so here we go. Let's get right into it. We've got a great show for you today, I think. What?
All right.
Colt, here's the thing. Before you really get into listening to this podcast, you got to remember that there is a lot of noise. What's going on?
Yeah, it sounds like it's catering.
First, a couple things. First off, how long have we slept, Colt, in the last 3 days?
3 hours last night. Was it
8 hours
zero the night before?
Eight hours the night before. So 11 hours in 3 days.
Three nights. That's 11 divided by 3 times 4 divided by 5. Yeah, it's not a lot.
Don't make me laugh. I got a mouthful of soda. So that's one thing. So we're a little loopy. Also, we had a long day, obviously, out there playing golf. Hey, Bert.
I just ran around the hotel, one lap, out to the street, around in the cold air so I could wake up a little bit.
He wanted to wake. He fell asleep in the car. It was a 4-minute drive. No, but we're in Scotland, and you know, we're a little bit loopy. We had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day that we can't wait to tell you about once we kind of backtrack and tell you about everything else. We are in the... Where are we, Rachel?
The Pearsland Hotel.
Explain. What does it mean?
Pearson, I don't know what I mean.
Jimmy Walker, the golfer, made whiskey here.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
It's Johnny Walker's grandson's house. Isn't that right?
Honestly, I don't know the history of it. I should do.
But more importantly, we are how far from the first tee at?
Oh, a good driver to the first tee of Rotrun.
Ooh.
Oh, so close.
Say it again.
Where should we tee up here?
We should just get in the back garden, or yard, as you guys say, and just... balls in there.
But even more special, you called it a yarden.
I got confused.
They do meters here, I think.
No, there's all yards. Okay, so basically we're here. What are we going to talk about? I think we could talk about golf, probably.
We'll start there.
Colt and I landed. We landed on Friday morning.
7:30 a.m., a little late.
Yeah. We were a half hour late, but you know, United's not perfect.
And we were traveling for 14 hours.
And we got here and we were basically like, go ahead, open it.
Oh,
there you go. Diet Coke being opened on the deck. And basically, Colt and I were like, what should we do today?
I can't remember.
I hope this isn't garbage. No. Anyway, we played Royal Troon.
Oh, my God.
Remember?
I do remember
now. It wasn't that long ago.
That was my first time.
It was Colt's first time playing Lynx golf.
Nice.
First time playing golf in the UK.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he suffered a birdie shutout.
But what a course to start on.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah.
Rachel, obviously, you're a member at Royal Troon.
Well, I was, when I was an amateur. I was a member there for a number of years.
Wait, you're not anymore?
Unofficially. I play there quite a lot and get to use the facilities. But no, I'm not an official member at Royal Troon anymore.
I'd rather be an unofficial member, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you get away with a lot more.
Really? Is that the same as honorary?
No, not quite.
Honorable?
I get a wee mention now and again.
Yeah, I'm honored.
Yeah, no, I love it there. I grew up there playing as an amateur, and they're just been such a good club to me. And then as soon as I turned professional, very, very supportive of what I was trying to do. So, yeah, they continue the support now.
That's great.
Yeah, they're a good club.
We got to talk with
Stephen.
Stephen, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really nice guy. He's the
membership
secretary.
Director.
Secretary, yeah. That was great. Okay. I remember that moment. And anyway, I mean, Royal Troon was just a really, I think I was shocked by how nice everybody was and welcoming.
Yeah, like obviously Royal Troon got a bit of stick when the Open came to Troon because
You said it's got a bit of stick? It got like a club? Like it got spanked?
No, it just got a little bit of bad press because when the whole Muirfield thing was happening, they got kind of tarred with the same brush because they were an all-men's club.
Really?
But obviously you have the women's club as separate, the ladies' club. At Troon, which I was a member of, but they voted women in during the Open, the one that Henrik won recently. And they just got a little bit because people were considering them like they were like Muirfield, which is not the case. Like, they're very welcoming of all females at the club, and now they voted women in, and I think they just took on their first member as a female member, yeah.
So let's back up a second here. So Rachel McQueen, you're... I mean, you do a lot of things, right? You play competitive golf. You play fun golf. You play great golf. You make golf videos. You have a golf Instagram following. Yeah. You work at events. You sort of do a bunch of different things. You do media journalism. You're working for a company now. You kind of deal with marketing and golf.
Yeah, I have many hats, and I do presenting for like Scottish Golf and like all sorts, and have a column for UK Club Golfer. Like, I do a lot. Like, I just decided, like, when I started doing my social media stuff, I wanted to do everything I possibly could to grow the game. So I just said yes to everything and just met some amazing people and got involved and everything I could. And yeah, it's been a great journey.
That's so cool. You know, I think that's why, like, we get along. It's because I have that vibe. I think I say yes to too many things.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely knackered, like, a lot.
Autocorrect? Oh, my God. Haver's referring to, well, anyway, longer story, but you also grew up in Troon.
Yeah,
I grew up in Troon. In this town of 10 to 15,000, 12,000?
Yeah, it's like 15,000, but I didn't start playing golf till I was 14.
That's crazy. Wow. And you're 17 now? No, you're 27.
28.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm 28.
You don't look a day over 27.
Oh, thanks.
Can you give, if you don't mind, can you give everybody an idea of how many great golf courses there are in the area here? And I mean, they are so close together, even tee to green.
Yeah,
it's like the 16 mile stretch, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So if I start in Prestwick, you have St. Nicholas, Old Prestwick, then you have Royal Troon, Portland, then you have Loch Green, Fullerton, Darley, Kilmarnock, Brassey, Western Gales, Glasgow, Gailsden, Donald. And they're all just like around each other.
That was 10 courses you just named, maybe?
Yeah.
In that order or not necessarily?
Well, I went from Prestwick all the way to Irvine. Like, I did it in that order. You have Bogside as well in Irvine, and like, which is like a good golf course, but there's so many.
And it takes like how long to drive to the farthest one from, say, this area, from Troon? Like,
well, tomorrow we're going to Prestwick, and that's probably going to take
like 15, 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, 15. Yeah.
I mean, everything's right here. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
You could get a train to from Prestwick to here, play Prestwick in the morning, get a train, play Troon in the afternoon. Like, it's so easy to play golf, and I wish I'd started earlier. That's my only regret. Oh, Kilmarnock Brassey is another one. I don't think I mentioned that one.
I wish I started earlier too. When did you start playing golf?
I played when I was little.
I'm not getting any of your levels.
Sorry about that. Coming in hot.
How's it going?
And then I didn't play golf until I was 16 or something, and I only played for 2 years and then stopped, and then somehow lied and told people that I knew how to play golf so I could get a job. So
that's awesome.
So I built clubs, which I didn't know how to build, but I figured it out, and I got a job making clubs in Oregon, and then I got a job as an assistant pro.
Really?
Yeah. Total just made all that up, and so I could get the job. Wow. Which I got the job.
But do you actually need to know how to play golf to do those things?
No, not
really.
It helps, especially with the assistant pro thing.
Were you terribly deficient?
Oh yeah,
really?
Well, I mean, to a degree. My dad was a big golfer when he was like younger, kind of my age now. So I knew a little bit, and I played a little bit. Like, I played for 2 years, and I had friends that golfed, but I was doing other stuff. So, and then I quit for years and then started playing again at like 25, 26, 27, 28, somewhere. Nice.
I'm glad you started playing again.
Now I'm 43.
You are not 43.
I'm not.
You said, no, you're fucking
baby
younger than me.
Baby face over there. You did not.
Hafer and I have, guess what Hafer and I have in common? It's huge. Anyone got a guess?
Big if true.
Big if true.
If true.
No one's going to guess. We have the same birthday. February 3rd.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was funny because I already knew this because we celebrate our birthdays and, you know, and then he sent me his you know, flyer information to book his flight to come here. And I was like, that's weird. His birthday is the same as mine. It must be a glitch.
It's a glitch.
And I was like, oh, that's right. We have the same birthday. Okay. I just need to go in a little bit more deeper into where we are right now. So we've got a houndstooth carpet, and we've got chairs with houndstooth upholstery, and then we've got a carved cherry wood wall with flowers all over it and panels. We seem to have some type of, like, melted, soldered iron window pane, like, then into, like, a thick rock wall, and then there's a probably
fireplace.
There's a fireplace. There's
multiple.
There is whiskey all over the place. Bottles of it. It's not just a loose whiskey
on the floor. Puddles.
We're in a dungeon. But no, we're in like a very. How would you describe this, Rachel? What's the word for it?
Oh, like 5-star hotel.
Five star.
Well, maybe 4-star.
What would
but
you
it's
call
nice.
This whole?
Scottish.
Scottish.
It's very Scottish, yeah.
Okay.
It's really nice.
So, okay, so we've covered a lot. So, Cole, we land, we go play Royal Troon, boom, you're like, what's up with Lynx Golf? What's up with Lynx Golf, Colt, from a first-time perspective, right? Colt, you know, again, if you don't, or if you aren't aware, Colt's a big mid-am guy. he's great at golf. He dropped 5 birdies at Western Gales today. He's a great player. I mean, can you guys
Thank
both
you.
Attest? You've both
oh,
seen
yeah.
him
Yeah,
play.
Great player.
Absolutely.
Thank great you. Player. I love your Appreciate swing. It. I love watching it, especially in slow-mo.
Ooh,
Ooh
I do
with
too.
A train.
It's great. It's fun.
Thanks to you guys.
With the train behind it is nice. Hand
that
hand.
Was cool.
But you've played golf in America and in Hawaii most of your life. So you know wind.
Right. I know wind. I know grain on greens, which I don't think comes into play here at all.
No.
But... I mean, I identify myself, you know, with golf as a golfer. My whole life has pretty much centered around golf, jobs, school, everything.
You worked at Troon in Arizona.
Yep.
Worked not Royal at, Troon.
Not, but it's funny. It's named after this town.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
This is a bit of a homecoming.
I believe Weisskopf won the Open here at Royal Troon. I think in the 60s. 63, maybe. I'm kind of throwing that out there.
We need to get our fact checker on it.
So he designed a bunch of, at least a few courses in Scottsdale and named it, well, there's Troon Country Club, I believe, came first, and then our course, which was Troon North. Anyway, so I identify with golf my whole life, and I've never played Lynx Golf.
Wow.
In Scotland, either, or the UK.
That's common for an American, though. I mean, it's hard to get over here. It's
true.
It's hella expensive. It's confusing. It's far as fuck if you're on the West Coast.
Yeah, it is.
And so you're like, wow. And also you have great golf there. Like, it's not like you're like yearning to go.
Right.
Maybe
sure.
Maybe you would yearn to go to St. Andrews, which is actually a different subject I wanted to bring up later about we're playing all these great hidden gems that I haven't ever had a chance to play. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. So your experience.
Well, it's just, it's funny because again, I identify with it, yet I've never experienced kind of the original form or like the truest form of golf, which would be Lynx. I mean, that's how it started, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to play Royal Troon, you know, first off was a treat for sure. And what really surprised me is that it was so unassuming. Like, first of all, what I've noticed, every course around this area is unassuming in the best way possible. Like, you're in a little town, you go down these little streets, and then, oh, all of a sudden you're in the car park, and the pro shop is right there, and the first tee is not too far away. And it's like, you know, most of the courses in America, it's, you know, maybe a gate or at least a long driveway, a huge parking lot. You got to find your way into the clubhouse. You don't even know which way is the entrance.
Yeah.
Maybe walk around back. Oh, that's the range. Where's the first? Like, it's so spread
There's
out.
Probably a guy who's like
security,
kind of making
number
you
one.
Feel weird. When's your tee time? Who are you with?
Exactly. I mean, it's so different here. And these are huge. These are open rota courses, a lot of them. And they're all, you know, famous courses. And you can pretty much just walk on there.
Yeah.
But it was so unassuming also in the sense that the course is just, it looks like it's laid out there for you. Like, it's just, it's so innocent.
It's
you know, it's like, yeah, come play.
Yeah.
Like, this is a free, like, this is a park. Come play. It's easy. Here's the hole. It's right there. And it is so hard. It is so difficult. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's
like a feral cat. You're like, hey, here, kitty, kitty. And then it's like.
That's what I was thinking.
No. Yeah.
No, but. Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, it reminded me of, we played Bethpage recently, and you can lose a ball, you know, just a mere feet or inches, like, off the fairway.
Yeah, even in the second cut at Bethpage, we were losing balls.
Yeah.
It was still 3 inches, 4 inches.
Right.
And here it's like the rough is sort of like, you know, you've got like these kind of crazy deep bunkers, and then you've got like 12 inches of fescue. So talk about, let's talk about actually, Rachel, you like, I feel like you might have some interesting, we didn't really talk about this yet, but like, you know, we played a handful of courses already. We played, mm-hmm. I think, 4 in 3 days. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right? Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, some have been new, some have been old. And, you know, our experience of walking down the fairways of new and old courses has been kind of interesting. And I've been trying to kind of delete the age from it and try not to do that. And I think actually you really could delete the age and you would still, if you were acutely aware of what golf is, you would be able to tell immediately. Do you think that's true? And do you try to delete the age, and what do you care about?
Oh, that's a tough one.
As a local of Troon.
As a local, it's obviously, you know, to me, there's only one golf course in Troon. I'm really biased. Obviously, Raw Troon is...
Planet Earth?
like, Portland's great. It's a great course. I grew up playing on that as well. But, you know, my favorite golf course in the entire world, which you guys are getting to play, is Kings Barnes. And Kings Barnes is not that old.
Yeah, it's 15, 20 years old.
Yeah, but you play it and you literally think it's been there forever.
It's fascinating.
Like, the way it's built, it's just stunning. And you feel like you're by yourself on every single hole. And I always play well there. I just love the experience of it. And, no, it's a great course. So, you know, you play that kind of course in one hand, and then you play a course like, I played Carnoustie just before the Open. I've played quite a few really good golf courses in Scotland. I'm fortunate with that. So it's difficult to not be biased. I had the opposite of what happened with Colt. Like, I grew up playing Lynx golf and then moved to the States. And I'd never really seen green before. And I was, like, putting on these greens in Arkansas and, like, Texas.
You were in the South where they have to...
Yeah.
They have, like, Bermuda.
And I was like, what's this? And I had to hit it higher. Like, I'm so used to hitting it low, and I didn't think I hit it that low. And then I was playing with girls in my golf team that are American, and they were hitting it so far up, like, straight up. And I was like, okay, I have to adjust my game for this and change it. But, yeah, I was in Texas for 2 years. We played all over the South.
Right.
So, yeah, I had to adjust.
I guess ultimately as a group or as an individual or whoever's listening to this, you basically, you know, it's one of the things I believe is, you know, however many people play golf, that's how many games there are to play. And so in some sense, the experience of traveling and playing a golf course is kind of like you get to choose. It's like a mall, and you get to choose what stores you want to go into.
Right.
And so in some sense, what is important, right? Like, because here's Rachel saying, like, I live here. What's important to me is just my favorite course, and I don't care that it's brand new.
Right.
And now, what are you saying? You've been to Ireland, but you've never been to Scotland. You've traveled a lot. You've played a lot of golf. You're very much into the, you know, you're very much into the blank of golf. Well, you fill that in for me.
I'm more into, obviously, I think your skill determines a lot of your perception on golf.
Thank you.
And... I think
was he looking at you?
I think
he was looking at the wall.
I think how well you play this game, especially, and it changes obviously for people as they get better, maybe in my case get worse. But for me, I know that I'm not going to go out there and shoot even par, and you know I'm going to lose a ball or two, and that's fine.
Just a ball or two. I'm sorry. Sorry. I'll stop. Go ahead.
On a hole, okay. But for me, it's kind of the experience of it, and obviously as a photographer, it's kind of the beauty of it, the landscape of it, the art of it, the shapes that you find out there, and then hanging out with people and the entire feeling. I don't want to use the vibe word, but the whole feeling of being out on a golf course with people. And it's not, for me, it's, I don't go out there to compete half the time. I don't even keep score because I just want to go experience it and, you know, hit putters from 100 yards and do stuff like that, because to me that's fun. And really for me at the end of the day, the scores are irrelevant. I'm not going to come and play, you know, Troon and get ejected and be like, that's a terrible course because I shot 100.
When you say ejected, you mean just sort of like lose a bunch of balls?
Not like physically guided off the property.
Yeah, because when you said that, I was like, what did you do?
at 16, they just look at me and they're like, nah, We're just going to throw you over the fence now.
We've been watching. Like
we're going to dump you into the
ocean. We've had you on Pro Tracer for 3 hours, and
we GPS tagged you, and your walk looks like a warship.
You're actually littering.
So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's not so much... It's bigger than just my experience. It's a lot of things like, how did other people interpret the course that I'm with? Because we all have a different perspective on it. And some people, I mean, we all play courses, and I'm sure we'll disagree on what's our favorite course. And that, to me, is endlessly interesting about golf, is we can all have a different opinion on the same course, and it can be so varied just because of how we perceive the game.
Did you, speaking of opinion, you know, I don't want to gloss over the last few days of playing Royal Troon. Really, we played two great courses already. You know, I think that's it. So let's just talk about Western Gales. I mean, I know, like, I know my experience was that of, like, holy shit. Did you have that same experience? I know Colt walked away saying this is my favorite course in the world.
To Royal Troon.
What he's saying is
he slow, evil eye look at everybody.
He can't compare it to Royal Troon because he wasn't here.
I was not here.
You weren't here.
Yeah. There's always tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Can I follow up on the score thing real quick? What are you talking about score and getting ejected, which I have been ejected pretty much every round this trip on either the second or third hole. Saying that, I can say without a doubt, every single round of golf, as far as I can remember, I know what I shot that day. Yeah. Like, to the shot. Normally I play, you know, pretty strict, like, OB, you know, whatnot. For my score, maybe I'll drop it. I'll count, like, the whatever. Like, I'm pretty strict about it. And I do not know what I've shot the last 4 days. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying that in more of a good way. Where it's, like, it's the only time in my life where I haven't even... where I really haven't worried about it. You know, and maybe early on if I birdie the first hole, like you did today, Eric.
Thank you.
I kind of get in this mode of... thinking about it, maybe I par the next couple. I'm like, oh, I'm one under through three, or even through three, or one over through three, and then I get ejected. Right, I lose a ball, maybe two balls on the hole, maybe a Royal Troon.
Maybe you make three. 11 on a par four.
That was you, right?
Talking about myself.
We'll come back.
Thank you. We'll circle back to that.
No, but like, and you know, normally I would, that would really put me in a deep hole that would be hard to come out of, and I would still be like, okay, I'm seven over or whatever through eight, whatever, like. You know, that's fine. I can get over it. But still, at the end of the day, I know I shot whatever that number was. The last few days, it's kind of, you know, and I think I told you this, Eric. If I have a big number, I'm like, okay, well, don't have to worry about scoring anymore. And I just did not think about it for the rest of the round. I just kind of focused on either trying to make birdies, because I was shut out the first, I think, two rounds.
Yeah.
Made some back today. But birdies and or even good shots.
Five today.
It was good.
What was the longest putt you made today? I made a
20, 25 footer.
Yeah, that was good.
So, you know, these rounds have been, there's been so much appreciation for the courses for me this trip that it's really the focus on shots, really trying to make birdies and trying to just make shots. Like, just getting so much satisfaction out of, you know, playing these creative shots on the ground, which is so cliche, but it is so much fun.
Yeah. You've been really good at that. I've seen you take a little couple 7-irons close to the green.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll, you know, today, for example, on Western Gales, hole 6, par 5, there's a huge, well, a bit of a slope / swale on the right. It comes down towards the green. Really no reason I had to play like that. I could have easily taken a lob wedge, which I normally would have done, especially on a course back home, and just kind of, you know, pop one up there, maybe like a little one-bounce spinner. Hopefully within 5 feet. But today I, you know, so that's where my mind goes at first. And then I go, actually, then I'll take out the gapper, the 2-iron gapper, or like my putter or a 4-iron. I just kind of choose a club and I'm like, hit the shot.
Right.
You know, it's that's what's fun to me. Kind of calling myself off and trying to put another shot in there to play.
Yeah. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
You've been playing that. What is it? Haywood?
The Haywood.
The Haywood.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You're better than me and I support you in that.
Thank you. No, it's not something people have to do. I mean, it's kind of all what you want to do, right?
Yeah.
But I'm terrible, and that's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, one, because I know I can't execute a golf shot. Like, I can't step up to the tee and be like, I'm going to hit this to there with that number and this ball flight know that it's going to go there.
It's really interesting because we make up a great foursome.
Yeah.
Of, like, different demographic, different golf experience, different golf values. That's kind of cool. You know, we should be on a show called Four's Company.
Yeah.
It's spelled F-O-R-E.
Forrest.
Four. Four's Company. All right, moving on. Sorry about that.
No, I was going to say, just to give context, Hafer used a putter from 150 yards out today.
It turned out pretty well.
It wasn't that bad.
It was actually probably better than
I love that play. Like, I'm all day. If I can putt it, I'm putting. Like, yeah. I hate chipping. Like, I'm not confident with a 56 in my hand. Like, give me a putter all day. Yeah. Like, I'm going for it.
That's so interesting because I am not confident with a putter in my hand, even from as close as 5 feet. You know? No one laughed. Because I guess it wasn't a joke.
It's just too true for all of us.
Everyone's, it is close to home.
Everyone's like, yeah, tell us more, this. Eric. Let's talk about this. Let's unpack it.
Yeah,
let's unpack
this. okay, what else? Should we, it's 25 minutes. Should we start up the Instagram Live and see what's going on?
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Get a little like conversation going. All right, so while we do that, let's see. Someone throw up a topic while we wait.
I've got one.
Or, you know, why don't we pause? We'll be right back.
Pause me.
All right, so we went live. Whoa. We went live, and how are my headphones working? But no. Oh, that was bizarre. We went live. It was good. It was a little hectic going live on Instagram. Yeah. So let's should we take another break? no, but I mean, let's talk a little bit about
bunkers.
Ooh.
In Afghanistan or in Scotland?
Through them.
All right, bunkers, go, Hafer. 2 minutes.
You got out one today, which was pretty impressive.
The hooded 60 from off the... Yeah.
Yeah.
That was terrifying.
That thing was shot in there with an air cannon.
You were luckily not short. You were kind of short-sighted on the green, but the ball was in the far side of the bunker with no room.
Yeah.
You didn't have a backswing.
And I also went bunker... into that bunker from another bunker on the other side.
And you actually almost went into a third bunker, which I think you get an award for. Or maybe they kick you off the course.
They kick you. That's when they eject you. Yeah. That's ejection. Yeah, that was a tough one.
You get a belt.
You get belted.
You get a belt to the ass.
I've been in a lot of bunkers so far.
Yeah.
Some went well, some
they're quite soft, aren't they?
The sand, that's the crazy thing here. The sand is very consistent across a lot of the courses. Mm-hmm. And it's really fine. Like, you'll go to courses in the U.S. and hole by hole, the sand's different.
Course.
Yeah.
No pun intended. The reason why I was said that a, bunkers.
Is that a sand joke?
Sand joke. The reason why I put this out there is because bunkers here are actual hazards. How many times are you in a bunker back home, air quotes, in America, and it's not really a hazard, especially if you're decent out of the bunker. You can get out of a fairway bunker pretty easily. I mean, with, you know, pretty much whatever club you're going to use anyway. And around the green, the lips are, you know, they're not that steep. Here, I mean, let alone if your backswing or follow through is impacted by, you know, layers of sod, basically the face or the walls of the bunker. But just to get the ball up and out of it, especially out of the if you go in a bunker in the fairway, there's not one bunker out there where you have a clean shot to the green.
Yeah, you could never hit anything longer than like a pitching wedge at the best.
It if you hit it in a bunker off the tee, it costs you a stroke because you can't. I mean, how far can you get out of it? I mean, maybe at most 20 yards.
Well, especially at Western, it's a real
on a par five maybe. On a par five, maybe you could still hit the green in regulation.
Right.
But you're going to lose a shot on the field.
If it's a shorter par five and you need like a 3-wood or something like that, or DOD, which we've done a couple times.
DOD.
Drive
you
off
know
the
what
deck.
DOD is?
Sorry.
No.
Nah, spoiler.
DOD, it's not only is it Department of Defense, it's a driver on the deck.
I can't do that.
Off or on?
Big fan of the Department of Defense. Just love defending. You know, offense wins games, guys, but driver off the deck wins championships.
That's why it's never been done before.
Any other features that you want to discuss, Cole? You know, it's funny to me because to me it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe it's for the same with Rachel. Like, you've played a lot of it. It's hard to see it as a new thing. It's kind of an interesting way. I try to even be in LA and see it with new eyes every time and be like, what is that about? Why is that? Do you ever find yourself walking through Troon being like, where am I?
I think
not at 3 a.m, just normal.
Yeah, like walking home from an air. I think I do have that experience when the weather is different, but I definitely had that experience when the Open was at Troon and Henrik and Phil were battling out because I was like, this is a different golf course. Like, I don't know what golf course these guys are playing because those scores were ridiculous. Like, they were playing a different golf course that I've played my entire life, like, well, golfing life. It was crazy, and it was so amazing, like, to be involved in that atmosphere. I got lost on my course sometimes. Like, you would just, like, hear these roars erupting around the course, and yeah, it was an unreal experience. I loved it.
How close were you? What was your game plan for Sunday?
I stayed until they had like 5 holes left, and then I went home because I'm a bit of a short arse, so I can't see over the crowds, and I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to see every single golf shot they hit, and there was no chance I could do that. So I left and went home and watched it on the TV.
How did you even get home? Because the walking, it would take you 30 minutes.
Oh, my dad picked me up.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah. You could drive really close.
Yeah, he picked me up pretty close. I literally like ran down one of the roads here and got him to like pick me up. And I was like, drive, like, let's go. We need to get back home. I'm not missing any of these shots. So yeah, we went really quick. But I got Padraig Harrington's autograph just before I left because he had to stay, obviously, being a past champion. And it was such a weird experience because I interrupted him playing Candy Crush. And I
so like, who knew?
Big Candy Crush guy.
Yeah, huge. But like, I went up to him and I was like, can you sign this for me? And he was like, yeah, 2 secs. So he stood there and finished his game of Candy Crush while I stood there waiting, finished it, then signed it. And I was like, new high score? And he's like, yeah. And then like walked off. It was just weird, but he was really nice.
Interesting.
We all play games. Some play golf, some play Candy Crush, some do both.
To deny an autograph because of Candy Crush?
He delayed it. He didn't deny it.
Yeah, he just delayed it.
I mean, I think it's pretty reasonable, you know? Hey, let me finish. I'm glad to help you. Just let me just take care of this.
Like,
maybe he gets played to Candy Crush. Paid to Candy Crush. Ryan Reynolds did.
But yeah, it was a bit... very surreal thing. Because I'm like, there's this amazing battle going on the course. And you're stood outside the clubhouse.
Oh, you think you should have been watching?
Not watching, but like just being a little bit involved. I guess, like, outside Rotring Clubhouse and you're just standing there playing Candy Crush. I was a bit like... Oh, okay.
Let's talk about Padraig's new swing. I think he really made a lot of the golf world. Colt, stop rubbing the mic with your lips.
Can you hear that?
That's a shared mic. That's a community mic.
Let's not do that.
Okay. So, but you know, he's got this new swing where he sort of takes it back halfway or a third of the way to the top. Takes it to P2, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like my swing.
And then... pauses and then takes it to the top and swings. What's going on? Does that make you uncomfortable?
He's protecting his back. Like, he's had issues, is he not? So like remember when he was doing that like weird follow through thing where he was like walking it through? Like, that was to protect his back. So I think that's kind of where he's going with it. Maybe to help the turn. I don't know. I think it's weird, but you know, he has a couple of
Clark jugs. Good for him. Take care of the back. Take care of the jugs. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Padraig Harrington, you know he's pretty good at the Happy Gilmore, and somebody amongst us tried that today.
Oh, yeah, and that worked out real good.
That was Eric, by the way, everybody.
Yeah.
We kind of had it was a mix of Padraig Harrington's Happy Gilmore skill with Phil Mickelson's freak out at Shinnecock.
Yeah, it was a bit.
It was kind of a half-baked idea. Eric was very serious about it at first. So we'll see the tape at some point.
Yeah.
Tried it a second time. Spoiler. Also very serious about that one.
I ran back at it like it was a snake that didn't die.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically we had a camera set up and the train was going by in the 16th tee. And I was like,
you had 3 seconds.
I wanted to get, like, the train was coming. I could hear it. All the cameras rolling. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so cool. We're going to get a shot of me, like, swinging with the train going by. Because I got one of you, Colt. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of great footage today. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I probably had a 4.5 seconds until takeoff. And then I was just like, the little, like, hooded voice in Manby was like, you should do a Happy Gilmore. So then I thought about it, and I was like, yeah. I backed up 3 feet, and I was like, here we go. Missed the ball completely, took a divot like a foot behind the ball, and then I was like...
Paused for a second,
filled with embarrassment. I fucked up my whole thing, and then I ran back and did it again. And I still missed. Except by this point, the ball was on the ground somehow. And pretty much, when we watched the tape back, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, it's hilarious. Brilliant.
It was really, it was really good. And so in a sense, it was a great success.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows? Just because you feel like an asshole doesn't mean it was a failure. Big learning.
I thought it was cool.
I wish there was some quote about it, like some like brilliant artist who didn't know he was brilliant and did it on accident or something.
There's been a few of those. There was a guy in I can't remember his name, Roger Darger, Henry Darger was an artist in Chicago who was a janitor, and he made a bunch of paintings on paper bags from the grocery store. And he didn't have much skill at drawing, so he would cut out and enlarge photos of humans from like magazines, and then he would trace those onto the paper bags and then paint over those. And he stored them all in his trunk for like 12 years, and then he died and someone found him and they're like, this is art, these are works of art. And then he became obviously dead, but he was very famous.
Really?
Posthumously. Yeah, Henry Darger.
Wow. That is incredible.
He was also he created an entire mythology in a 13,000-page book about all the paintings and everything. It's really nuts.
So that guy's brilliant.
He's brilliant, but he's also a bit, there was something wrong, like something he didn't, people described him as strange, but a lot of the paintings were like genderless or gender mixed. Hmm. I guess now, like, when I was learning about him, it was like 15, 20 years ago. But now you would be like, oh, yeah, maybe he was just transgender and didn't know it. Hmm. Anyway, let's talk about transgenders and golf.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us know any where to start.
That was a joke.
I know.
But I was surprised. Now let's move on. What else? We play a lot of golf. I mean, you know, I think we're just tired. Let's throw it down. Any other last subjects you want to bring up?
What are we doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Prestwick. We're playing, we're teeing off in 11 and a half hours. And we don't know our game yet. You know? Maybe we just award score for whoever's the happiest on each hole.
Whoever makes it there on time gets like to take 5 shots off their score.
5 shots.
Well, we're screwed.
Should we do the Tommy Chong way?
Only score your good shots. Whoever hits the most amount of good shots.
Like I hit a 3 today. That was great.
You only hit 3 good shots?
No, I'm saying Tommy did. That was his example.
Oh, right. I didn't listen to that one.
So you only count your good shots?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't like that game.
How about you only count your difficult shots?
How about I only count the shots? Never mind.
Balls lost?
High score wins.
Balls
now
lost.
Now we're talking.
What does that mean? You get... The winner has the most balls lost?
Yeah.
No, I feel like...
I could just dump a dozen off.
You just
off
take
the
all
ball.
The vice
I would love to watch that, actually. I'd take pleasure. I'd let you win in that case.
All right, cool. Well, thanks everyone for joining us on this late night whiskey room wooden-walled Scottish podcast, the first. We're actually going to record one tomorrow with the head pro at...
Prestwick.
There's only been how many head pros at Prestwick?
7.
I'm not sure, but he's a good friend of mine. He's a really nice guy.
7 head pros in 500 years, which is like, I don't understand the math.
That...
But it's very old.
He's my old coach.
He is, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So we're going to meet him at 10:40 a.m. We're going to record a podcast with him and do a serious interview. Just kidding. It'll be serious. And then we're going to play. And then we're going to go play 9 holes at Barassi. And then we're going to do a little meetup at the
Red Lion Inn.
And then we got a 2-hour drive. And then we got to check into the hotel. Wake up in the morning and play golf at 8:30. Whoa, I just got tired. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Monday. And yeah, check out Rachel McQueen on Instagram at RACHMCQUEEN.
Yep, you got it.
Fucking nailed it. Hafer, obviously, Hafelife. If you don't know him, do you really know anyone?
Exactly.
Colt, don't follow Colt. I recently blocked him. Coltkneder. Hafelife is Hafe_life. And let's just keep moving on, right?
Keep moving.
Let's keep advancing that ball. That was really the experience today of making the 11 on the par 4. Like, someone posted a quote that was like, whatever you do, don't stop hitting the ball. And I was like, I'm not going to give up on this hole because the ball's right here and the hole is right there. And it was kind of an enlightening experience. Like, I was kind of like experiencing feelings that I had never felt before, like super awake, super like interested, but non-emotional. It was very... I haven't really experienced anything like that on a golf course.
It was an interesting experience because from our perspective, I was towards the front of the green. You were off the back.
You're like 80 feet away from me.
Hafe was close to you. And after a few swings, I mean, I fully expected you to walk off. And
is that because that's something I would do? Have you seen me do that? Because, I mean, I feel like I would have done that.
Yeah, just I mean, give up. Pick up. Like, yeah, I've seen you pick up. I mean, not like... take maybe a double, closer to the hole. Unquote. Yeah, like if you miss a 10-footer or whatever, like,
yeah,
you know, wherever that goes, like, you may pick up.
Right? Yeah.
But after a few shots, I thought maybe you'd pick up. I definitely thought you were angry.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
I probably seemed like angry because I was just being quiet.
Yeah. You kind of did. I mean, because you were, yeah, you were really quiet. But then, because usually when you get angry, it's quick. And then it's like, all right, I'm over this. And
yeah,
then,
I can't handle it.
But you kept going with it, which was like.
That was
unusual. We're like, he's going to explode and take then, his clothes off and run onto the beach.
And then I think the like absurdity of it all hit him. And he was like, I just got to laugh at it.
It became really funny all of a sudden.
Yeah, because the ball did go backward.
Yeah, it went backwards. Yeah.
At one point, and then at that point, you were like, well, I got out of it.
I got out of it. Yeah.
Faith and I were exchanging glances at each other like, should we laugh or not?
I don't know. I mean, if you're, I don't know. For me, it was a cool experience that encouraged me to look at what can I just continue doing in golf and not basically give up.
You know, what was the coolest part from my perspective was, you know, after, you know, it went backwards, then you kind of reset, you hit a chip up onto the green and it rolled over the green by maybe 10, 15 yards or so. And at that point, I believe pretty much everybody was done with the hole.
Yeah, most of them were on the next tee.
At that point, I was like, okay, he got out of there. Like, he's done. And you walked across, you took the time with your caddy, you walked across the green, down the front of the green to your ball, and you set up. And that's kind of when you actually started explaining to it, because I did not expect you to hit that next shot.
As I passed you, because that was the first time I saw you.
I did not expect you to hit that next shot. And I was really, like, proud or happy or whatever it was to see you go in on that and hit that next shot.
That's the moment.
Hafer just showed us a photo. Oh,
that's the moment.
Of that. That is a really cool. Good photo.
So you're right. It really turned into a cool experience.
It really was. Like I would never have expected making an 11 on a par four was the highlight of the day.
Yeah, it was one of them.
Because I started off with a birdie.
Wait, and that is true. When you actually kind of advanced it forward, didn't it roll? Sorry, didn't it roll off the green though?
Yeah, it wasn't even a bad shot, but I hit my 56. I should have hit my 60.
It always goes back to the 60.
But I had that was the club I had in my hand, and that was probably a whatever, but. Yeah, yeah. But
at that point, were you so like whatever that you didn't care that it rolled off?
It didn't seem no. I mean, it didn't seem like that to me. At least.
I know why it rolled off. I didn't hit it right. I mean, I hit it. I gave it a little too much gas, and the green slopes back to front, and I was behind the green, so it just would. Of course, it would roll off. The funny thing is, I didn't find my ball, and we dropped.
Oh yeah,
and you hit a great, shot from back there,
and I could have easily made par right there. Yep. And then right when you marked it, he marked. It was a gimme. It was a 3-footer, yeah. And I chipped it from 30 yards, maybe 25 yards. And right as we like were about to leave and go putt that, Joseph the caddy was like, "Found your ball," and I was like, "Great, let's play that." I was like, "Great, let's take. Gimme it. You know what I mean?" And it was, and I got it.
Yeah,
sure. I got it about 7 more times.
Sure did.
Yeah,
like, you know what? I want to play this hole 2 more times from this one.
It was I don't know why it was so fun. I think, you know, but you've heard me say, like, I like my favorite part of golf is the difficult shots, the small windows, you know, the kind of impossible stuff. Hitting an 8-iron really, really far.
Right.
It's like the only trick shot I have.
Oh, yeah, you did it. That was today. I want to say it was at Dundonald where you're like, I was kind of salty at that point. Was it yesterday or? No, it was yesterday.
Dundonald was this
morning. No, it was yesterday. No, but this was at Robert the Bruce yesterday at Turnberry.
Yeah.
So there's a 1 par 3. I was a little salty. I was missing some short putts and hadn't made a birdie yet. And it was getting to me a little bit. And we go to this par 3, wind into us 170 maybe or something.
Is this 12? Or no, is this which hole?
I can't remember.
On the front nine?
I do not know. Okay. Answer. But were you there? It wasn't an 8-iron right? hole.
You were there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 8-iron.
No, it wasn't an 8-iron hole.
Oh, I remember this hole now. Yeah.
I pull 6.
Yeah.
I think we hit it about the same distance.
About.
Okay, maybe.
No, you hit a little further.
Oh, no. I think we hit it about the same distance anyway, and I pull 6, and you turn to me and you go, "You think I can get an 8-iron there?" And I'm like, "No." I was just like so angry already, just from other outside things. I was like, "No chance." And you got it there, dude. You hit a solid shot.
It was nasty. Crazy.
I was like, "All right, that has a chance."
That was like the last hole we actually played, mm-hmm. and then we started skipping holes. Yeah, Robert the Bruce was a bit of a skipper. Wouldn't you agree?
It's an interesting time there. It's difficult when you've got such an amazing golf course next door. You know, it's true.
We took one for the team playing Robert the Bruce yesterday.
you said the Elsa course you've played, was that recently?
Yeah, so I played it just before it closed, before the changes were made, and then I played it recently, I want to say 3 months ago, maybe, mm-hmm. 2 months ago. I wanted to hate it, because how do you change an open championship course? And, you know, it has so much history and all this. But I loved it. It was so good.
Cool.
Yeah, there's some amazing holes, like out near the lighthouse is mm-hmm. just fantastic. The changes that he made there, they've done a good job.
You showed us some pictures and it did look pretty sweet. So
yeah.
Anyway, next year when we do our 3 week, maybe 30 course tour of Scotland, we can include that one.
Ooh, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, definitely. When you guys come back, we'll figure it out.
I want to do a Scotland tour of just like down and dirty nasties.
Whoa.
Ooh, that was
golf. Golf.
Castles?
Golf.
Castles?
No, like just like golf courses with no pro shop.
Yeah. Ooh. No.
Okay.
Fully in.
Yeah.
You know, golf courses with no pro shop. Golf courses that are 5 hours away from a gas station or something. Golf courses that are.
Have like the honesty box. Where you put in. Like there's a few courses like that in Arran. That are just so
really?
The
aisle.
Yeah. And it's so cool. And you just literally just like put some money in and then off you go.
We've been told to go over there. And I mean,
I'm surprised, not my original list.
You know, when we went to Isle of Man this year, Colt, we were gonna instead, do you know this?
No.
We weren't gonna go to Isle of Man. Isle of Man got switched out at the last second because of like multiple little things that were happening that made logistically it much easier. But we were originally gonna go down and do a tour of 9s and 12s around Arran and Macrahanish. And we were literally going to land in Glasgow. We had a route. Stuart and I already made a route, and it was like 12 courses in 3 days.
Wow.
And it was all like 9s and 12s, like 9-holers, 12-holers. And we were just going to literally get in a car and go over like a 3-hour drive over a bridge, crash at a pub, whatever. You know what I mean? And just like, and that was the plan. And then I don't really remember why we switched it to Isle of Man. I think Isle of Man offered us a little support as far as like lodging and food and stuff, which was helpful. You know, obviously we're just trying to spend as little as possible, but yeah, that's something we've set up. So
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It'd be fun, right?
Like Macrahanish is. Oh.
Yeah,
we were talking about it today because I was telling Colt like over there is Macrahanish, but to get there you have to like go 4-hour drive, like you have to go all the way around. But it's such a fantastic golf course.
One of the I think one of the cool things we didn't discuss today was that you know, here we are, four people. We all obviously met through how did you and I meet? Through Akbar, I guess. How did you and Akbar meet?
Through Instagram.
So we've all met through Instagram.
Yeah,
right. And today we had three other people come out and play with us that none of us knew prior to today. More like, you didn't really meet Graham before, but you knew him or of him. Graham, Stefan, and Joseph came out. Joseph was a caddy at Western Gales, reached out via Instagram and said, I'd love to loop if you guys are around. Stefan hit us up and said, I'm a member at Western Gales, love to play with you. 26-year-old doctor, lived in Dornick for years. Such a great guy.
Great guys.
Really nice.
Graham came out, he's like a golf vlogger, I think, is that right?
Yeah, he does videos, and he's more into his photography though. He does a lot for his club.
He does Cub Golf, CUBGOLF.
He brought his camera out today.
He brought his camera and took some photos, and it was just a fun experience. And you know, he brought a pair of 5-pound notes.
Oh yeah.
One had the Jack Nicklaus photo from the Open, and the other had the Ryder Cup logo. Yeah.
That was from Glen Eagles 2014.
Yeah, on the money.
That was very cool and nice of him.
But that was a cool experience, I thought. You know, it really made it fun. And Rachel came out and walked for a bit, which was cool.
Yeah.
In the rain.
I caught you guys in the back nine.
That's great.
Got wet.
It was just such a fun, open experience, you know?
Yeah. No, I liked it.
And what's funny is here's what's kind of funny. We were told more or less we couldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, we were told we can't do this, we can't do that. And what's funny is we did it. They allowed us to do it, and we did it. And I think what's kind of funny about golf in a bigger way, when you step back from it, you're like, why the fuck couldn't we just do that? He says members can play Western Gales as fives and eights and things like that, which I get. I don't know. I wish there was a way to be like, yo, if there's no teams behind us, why don't we just be two foursomes and just play as an eightsome quick?
I'm kind of a great believer in like do it until someone says no.
Great.
So, me too. Like when it comes to golf courses like that, like why not? Like if there's no one there and the course is dead, then play an eight ball. Like yeah. go out there, enjoy yourself and play with as many people
eight,
as possible.
Eight ball has a different definition in America, but you know, sorry. Yeah. You know, anyway. Do you know what eight ball is?
Drugs.
Measurement of cocaine. But moving on.
Okay. Anyway.
Moving on back to Royal Tree.
But yeah, like it's a shame that you can't do that in some golf courses. Yeah. I get it for pace of play and all that, but like
yeah.
Speaking of which, pace of play at Royal Troon was impressive.
Yo, we were
a twosome in between two four balls, and we were hustling.
Yeah.
The group behind us was on us, and the group in front of us was, you know,
we never waited on them.
Nope. Yeah.
The members don't mess around at Royal Troon. They're like,
and they were beautiful people too.
And they were
so nice, so welcoming.
Yeah.
The group behind us saw us kind of whip the cameras out and just asked us about it, you know, out of curiosity.
What's it for?
On the first
is it for YouTube?
Tee.
What are you doing? Where are you from?
Yeah.
That's happened a few times.
We had a great conversation
yeah.
with them, and they really, really, really enjoyed us being out there, so that was nice.
I would say in the 2.5 days that we've been here, there's been a dozen people who have just straight up walked up to us and just said, where are you guys from? What are you doing? How are you liking it? What's next?
Breakfast, dinner, you know, a lot of meals people walk up to you, and we think, at least I do, that they're going to come up and say, like, oh, you guys are kind of being loud or
totally.
Stop swearing or something.
Totally. I totally thought
that. And they're like, oh, why are you here? And it turns into this 5-10 minute conversation and it's lovely.
Yeah.
Is that like a preconception that you had coming here? That...
No, not a preconception of Scottish people. It's what happens, I would say, mostly, I mean, you know, where I've lived in America, you know, it's just the much more friendly here, I think I'd say. It's not negative in America at all, but... very friendly people here.
I wonder why that is, because I experienced that too. I experienced the most friendly people in the world live in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That makes me so proud to be Scottish. I'm like, yes, yeah.
Great
awesome.
Sense of humor too. Everybody's like got a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah. Really
like
dry.
They love just kind of throwing out like a little chide like remark, you know, and whatnot. Yeah, yeah. It's great.
Yeah, we had a lot of that when we played Archer Field. Like, yeah. I didn't know if I took it too far. I was like, am I being mean or am I being funny? Like, no. I'm not so sure.
I'm used to it, Stuart, obviously.
Yeah.
Glaswegian.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to Stuart coming out, by the way.
Yeah, it's just a week now, maybe a little less.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
I'm good. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, you're kind of a jerk, but, you know, it's okay.
Wow. I have to go back
to
work.
That was me being Scottish. Like,
yeah.
Dry wit.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
There you go. Taps it right back in for par. Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. Everybody, you know, get to Scotland when you can. Make sure you do it. Make sure you set it up and have fun. Play the hole through, but don't care. And take some photos. And don't give anyone any strokes, as per Rachel's advice.
Yeah.
And Colt, what's your advice?
Wait.
I like what you said there, which is play the hole through. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna really do that from now on.
Yeah.
And just see what happens.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you don't play it through, you're kind of cheating yourself of the experience.
100%.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that all my life has been wasted up until this point.
Do you like question for everybody? Do you like? I enjoy tapping the ball in or like making the putt. I like holing out.
Yeah, me too.
I really very rarely will I pick it up. Maybe if I'm far behind and I'm like making a six or something. And like I said, I wasn't really playing for score. I haven't been focusing on score this week anyway, so it's been a little easier for me to kind of like pick up a short one or something. And if somebody gives it to me, yeah, I mean, sure, I'll take it. If somebody like throws me the ball.
Yeah.
But I like holding out.
I've noticed that's a thing with competitive golfers.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh. My brother-in-law was a really good golfer and used to play competitive golf. He will putt out everything.
Yeah. I enjoy, like, somebody, like, I mean, Eric, you tell me all the time, you're like, yeah, it's good. And I'm just like, thank you. And I go up and I like to have it in. I just like you. Doing that.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
I just say I do that half the time.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying sometimes you do it.
Sometimes I
tap it
in. No, I just say, oh. On the reverse. Like, someone will be like, that's good. And I'm like, I just want to hear it. Yeah. I just want to feel it.
Totally. Yeah.
But someone that was the question on the podcast once. Someone was like, I want to put everything out, but I don't want to be a dick.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you don't need to be like, don't give me a gimme. Just be like, thank you, and just put it in.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and just don't take a long time.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to try and not get competitive tomorrow, but just be prepared to hole everything.
Like, there is no try.
I love it.
I'm going to try really hard. It's just really difficult. I'm just a competitive person. I like to win. I like, yeah.
Well, we got to figure out the game first, but maybe we'll do that in the morning.
But I feel as if like a team thing might be quite nice. So like even if we did like front nine team and then like back nine let's go to war.
Metal match play exhibition.
Did you just say let's go to war?
Yeah.
I mean, the Celtic Rangers
people
game
die
was
in war.
Yeah, well, it's
I'm
Prestwick.
A little freaked out now.
Avery's a little worried.
Sorry. Oh, you're going to like the bunkers at Prestwick.
Oh, yeah, I'll hit them. I'll be yeah. in every single one on every hole.
Have you ever counted the layers of sod? And if you have, what are the most layers of sod in a bunker you've ever seen?
Oh, my God. I've never done that. But at Prestwick, they do railway sleepers on their bunkers. Mm. So, like, you know what a railway sleeper is. So they have that on the face
is
of their bunkers.
A piece of wood?
I think we call it railroad ties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what some of their bunkers have in the face is railway sleepers. So they're fun. Yeah, no, I've been in the Hell Bunker before, which is in St. Andrews, and it's, I can't see out of it.
On 17? No.
No, that's a road hole bunker. It's on 15, it's like par 5. Yeah, so I've been in there. I've made par from there, up against the face. I was well chuffed with myself.
Still are.
Yeah, obviously, like, I tell everyone, I'm like, I made par from the Hell Bunker. Yeah. Don't think you know. Yeah. My parents were there and they watched it as well. And they're not golfers. That's so, cool. Like, that was a really cool moment. Because they saw me in the bunker and they were like, oh, dear God, here they're we
like,
go again.
They're like, is it easier from the sand?
Meanwhile, when you were a baby, they had no idea you'd make par from the Hell Bunker.
I know, right?
Wait, your parents aren't golfers?
No, my parents aren't golfers. Like, they came and watched, like, a number of my tournaments, but they're not golfers, no.
You got into golf pretty late.
Yeah, I got into golf when I was 14. My grandpa was a golfer, but the Open came to Troon in 2004, and that's what got me into golf. And then I became addicted and played it all the time. And I was off scratch by the time I was 18.
Wow, that's funny.
That's really good.
But I literally was like always. I was always scratchy. Yeah, like my grades at school weren't so hot. In my final year, because I was on the golf course a lot. Stay in school, kids.
No.
Or play for Scotland.
No. No.
But yeah, it's been a great experience. But my parents don't play. But they support me. And
let's,
they love me.
Let's get them out there. Maybe they should come play tomorrow.
My mum would so come. Morag would be all about it. She loves walking.
That name is epic.
Yeah, Morag. Morag McQueen.
Oh, actually.
Morag McQueen. Actually, here's a funny story.
What? Here we go.
So they asked me what the name of my putter was.
Jamie asked him today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Morag.
Seriously?
Yeah. We named her Morag. Because we were going through traditional Scottish names, and I'm like, Morag.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing. I'll tell her.
But you said that without knowing.
Without knowing. Exactly.
Joseph, the caddy, suggested a few names.
Jamie. Jamie and I were talking, yeah.
Jamie Darling.
He said,
our fixer.
The man. Yeah. The man who made
so
it all
we
happen.
Were talking, and he's like, because we were talking about family names and when we named our daughter, and we couldn't, because my family names are like Agnes, and somehow it evolved, and we're like, whoa, so did you name the putter? And I'm like, no. And then we rattled through a bunch of, and we came up with Morag.
Oh, I'm going to tell my mom that you named it after her, though.
I am. Tell her that. That's exactly why.
Yeah.
I did it.
She caddied for me before at Royal Troon. And the first hole, we're walking up, and I'm playing with a Curtis Cup player. And she turns to the Curtis Cup player and goes, any nice par threes on this golf course? And I was mortified. I was like, oh, my God, Morag just pushed the clubs. Like, let's go.
That's
like,
so good.
She should definitely come tomorrow. At least for a couple holes in the back.
She may come. I'll get her to come to Camara Brasi. She'll come walk with us.
Fantastic.
So in closing, I want to thank you all for your time. Hafer, everybody, we owe him a cheers, a round of applause, a moment of gratitude. We wouldn't be here without him. Thank you. Aww. It was his idea to submit to the pressures of life. No, submit to the...
I know talent ad, when I see it, Eric.
Ad online.
I'm going to just connect the dots.
Wouldn't kind of be guy. Here without him. So, everybody bow your heads. No, I'm kidding. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. Thanks, guys, for joining me.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.